What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Locks. I am your host, Zach Stonerock. Today I'm flying solo as Avery is attending his day job and being a dad and doing all of that fun stuff and you know, responsibilities outside of the sports gambling and sports world. So welcome back, you know, Straight Up Locks, coming back with our second episode since we did the rebrand. Our goal is to be your go-to resource for all things sports gambling. You know, best sports gambling podcast in the Central Ohio area is what I'm hearing. So that's what we're trying to live up to. And I'm hoping that you find a lot of value in the content that we push out. So without further ado, since, you know, I'm flying solo today, I'm just going to dive right into it. And let's do a quick recap of the games yesterday. So first game of the day, we had West Virginia and Maryland. I picked West Virginia. I knew it was going to be a close game. Maryland ended up winning. I believe they won by 65-67. So, you know, right where we thought that game was going to be, it was going to be tight. I was on the wrong side of it, but those things happen. The very next game though, we had Furman and Virginia. I called this one. I felt that Furman, you know, was coming in, had nothing to lose. Furman faced some adversity along the way. Their top scorer throughout the season actually ended up fouling out early in the game. Ended up getting a pretty pointless foul right before half with, I want to say it was like 30 seconds left. Let me go ahead and pull up his name because I actually don't have it written down. Boutwell. So with him being, you know, fouled out of the game, it was, you know, it was questionable whether they were going to be able to really pull it out at the end. But with Slauson, Slauson came in and was absolutely crushing it. Had a heck of a game. Virginia really kind of blew it there at the end. Furman did a fantastic job of trapping in the corner. I forget who it was for Virginia, but ended up, you know, getting trapped and threw the ball up. I'm assuming, thinking that there was going to be enough time with the ball in the air that the clock would run out. However, Furman intercepted the pass, took it down, knocked down a three to win the game, 68-67. So that was a good feeling, you know, calling that upset, 13 over a four. I didn't believe Virginia had it this year. And then with that happening, turns out it was that exactly 5-year difference from when UMBC knocked them off when they were the number one seed. So yeah, I mean, everything just lined up perfectly for Furman. Virginia played a really strong game. I don't want to take anything away. I mean, they're a good basketball team. It's just, at the end of the day, you gotta win these games. You know, I believe I heard during the game yesterday that they had the best record in the ACC over like the past 6 years, which is great, but ultimately it means nothing if you don't close out big games. Now, granted, they did win a national title in that run, but, you know, with having a record like that, you would really expect to see maybe two or three national titles. But anyway, that felt good. So I was riding pretty high yesterday with calling that game. Then we had Utah State, Missouri. I believe Avery and I both picked Missouri. Missouri ended up winning this game by 11. Utah State kept it close, though, for the majority of the game. But at the end of the day, Missouri was just too much. Kansas blew out Howard, just like we expected. They won by 28 points, covered the spread there. Alabama took down Texas A&M Corpus Christi, which Avery and I both called. However, they did come up short of covering the spread. The spread was 23.5 points, and they only won by 21. I was receiving text messages all day about how that busted a lot of parlays. So they just couldn't quite get over that hump of covering the spread, which I actually had them taking covering the spread as well. So the fact that they didn't, I was right there with a lot of you with having some of my parlays busted. Next was the San Diego State Charleston game. We called this one that it was going to be a close game. San Diego State, at the end of the day, defense took over. Very low scoring game here. 120 total points. San Diego State won 63-57. This next game, though, this is the one that really just ruined my entire March Madness season for me. Arizona-Princeton. I had been talking so much about Arizona and how they were, you know, one of the best teams in the bracket. And that Princeton being an Ivy League team just really didn't have a shot. Well, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably tuned in and you know that Princeton ended up knocking off Arizona last night. Arizona was my champion in my bracket. So still trying to recover a little bit from that, but that definitely brought me down from the high of calling the Furman game. But that's why it's called March Madness, because at any given time, any team can knock off a top seed. Let's move on. I don't really want to talk too much about that game. Still a little sad about it. Let's move on to another 8-9 game. We had Illinois and Arkansas. Picked Arkansas on this one from the beginning. I just, you know, they're a grittier team in my opinion, and they're more well-rounded. So went ahead and took Arkansas. Arkansas won this game 73-63. Next game was also another 8-9 matchup with a Big Ten team. Big Ten SEC matchup, actually. Iowa and Auburn. Auburn ended up winning this game by 8. Called that one as well. I knew it was going to be close. Iowa is, once again, better offensive team. However, Auburn was just more well-rounded, which, you know, the outcome was what we expected. Next game was Boise State, Northwestern. Boise State was the 10 seed. This game, we called it that it could go either way. Ultimately, it did go in Northwestern's favor. I picked Boise State to be contrarian, but not surprised in the least bit that Northwestern won this game. I'm pretty sure I advised everyone to stay away. So just because I knew this game could go either way. Then we had Colgate in Texas. Texas was like a 13-point favorite, I want to say. They ended up winning by 20. Not much to talk about there. That was what the expectation was. Northern Kentucky and Houston. I believe Avery mentioned that Northern Kentucky's a better team than what people are giving them credit for. They pretty much proved it. They didn't win. They didn't have the favorable outcome that I'm sure they were hoping for. But again, we're talking a 16 seed versus a 1 seed. Houston won this game 63-52 for that 11-point difference there. Again, I said stay away from this game just because, you know, I apologize. I'm pretty sure I advise everyone to take this game and take the spread. Sorry about that. From a money line standpoint, the value wasn't quite there. I know I did include them in a few parlays of mine with money line just to, you know, pad it a little bit more. When you start to build some of these parlays out, you get like 15 leg parlays. Even a team that's minus 3,000 adds a couple hundred dollars if you win. So, if you're building those big parlays and it's worth it, if you're building, you know, 2 to 3 team parlays, probably stay away and find a matchup with better odds that is going to help you with a better payout. Then we had Louisiana, 13 seed versus number 4 seeded Tennessee. This was another one of those games where we felt that Tennessee was going to win. Avery actually took Louisiana in this matchup. But I advise that if you wanted to bet on this game, go ahead and take Louisiana plus the 10.5. At that point, you know, with a 3-point differential here, 58-55, you would have hit that bet. Then we had UNC Asheville versus UCLA. This game ended up UCLA 86, UNC Asheville 53, as expected here. Once again, I'm pretty sure I advise everyone to stay away on this one just because of what the money line odds were. UCLA, strong team. UNC Asheville just couldn't keep up. And then the last game of the night, this one actually kind of shocked me a little bit. Penn State, Texas A&M. Penn State was a 10 seed. Texas A&M was a 7 seed. Penn State ended up winning this game 76-59. I had mentioned that it really came down to whether Penn State was going to get hot or not. Let's go ahead and check what their shooting percentage was from behind the arc. They shot 59% from behind the arc. So they did what they had to do to win. So while I still believe Texas A&M is the better team, we're one and done here in the March Madness tournament. So all it takes is for Penn State to get hot, and that's what they did. So Texas A&M is going to be watching the rest of the tournament from home, and Penn State goes on to the round of 32. But that's the recap from yesterday. Once again, I'm going to acknowledge that I was wrong about Arizona. Picked them in every bracket I did too, so I might have been a little overconfident there. But it's a new day. Still get to gamble whether my champion's out or not. Now I just got to place new wagers. So let's talk about the games today. So first game today, kicking off at tipping off, not kicking off, different sports. Tipping off at 12:15, we got number 10 seed USC taking on number 7 Michigan State. Go ahead and give me Michigan State on this one. From a standpoint of what's the difference maker in this matchup, it's Michigan State's ability to score the ball. I think that, you know, with three-point shooting being a major factor in a lot of these games with the Big Ten teams, Michigan State definitely excels at that at a higher rate than USC. So go ahead and give me Michigan State. Where are we at with the spread on this one? Log me out here. I got to do the face ID. Michigan State's favored by 1.5. Go ahead and take Michigan State money line. The difference is not much. I mean, if you take Michigan State minus 1.5, it's minus 120. If you take them money line, it's minus 132. Not enough of a difference there for me to give up the 1.5. Go ahead and give me Michigan State money line. Next game is Xavier and Kennesaw State. Give me Xavier. Xavier is just, you know, a really strong team. Kennesaw State is, they had a good season for them, but Xavier has been playing great basketball pretty much all season. Got much more experience. They're a very fast paced, high scoring team. I don't see this being another upset bracket buster. So let's go ahead and just take Xavier and move on there. Don't need to hit on that one too much. The spread's minus 12.5. I take Xavier minus 12.5. If you want to get really risky with it, go ahead and take Xavier down to minus 15, just to get a little bit better payout. I can see this being a blowout victory. Next game here, we have Baylor at UC Santa Barbara. Again, very similar to the Xavier-Kennesaw matchup. Go ahead and give me Baylor. I don't think we need to deep dive too much into this one here. Spread here is minus 10.5. I'd go ahead and take that spread there as well. Minus 10.5 with Baylor. I just think, once again, they play in a tougher conference. They've been playing good basketball pretty much all year, with the exception of a few hiccups along the way. But they've had some big victories as well. I'm going to pull up my notes that I had on this game. Bear with me here for a second. Be real sad if I don't have any notes on this game, and I'm holding up the show for this. Nope, here they are. So Baylor beat Gonzaga, UCLA, Kansas, Texas, and TCU. So those are all big victories. UC Santa Barbara, they have AJ Mitchell, sophomore guard, who scores, over 16 points per game. And they got Miles Norris, who's a senior forward, scoring 14.1. But ultimately, I think it's going to come down to Flagler and Cryer for Baylor. They're just too much. Baylor shoots really good from behind the arc. They were actually first in the Big 12. The Big 12. They averaged 3.9 made threes per game. So lots of things going in their favor here. They're also great on the offensive glass. So again, I don't want to deep dive into this one too much, just because I don't think this is going to be post game. Go ahead and give me Baylor minus 10.5. Now, this next game is actually a game that I find to be one of the most intriguing matchups, because I think one team is overseeded, and I think one team is underseeded. And that is going to be St. Mary's and VCU. So in this game, you know, St. Mary's relies heavily on defense and being able to slow the game down, whereas VCU has the ability to you know, pick up the pace. They're a more physical team, in my opinion. I'm actually very shocked that St. Mary's was ranked as a 5 seed and VCU's down as a 12. I could see VCU being more of like a 10 or an 11 seed. And St. Mary's, I mean, I would probably make an argument that they should have been in an 8-9 matchup. So in this game here, I'm going to go ahead and take the I'm taking VCU to upset St. Mary's. Because the value is not much different in this situation, I am going to go ahead and take VCU +4.5 just in case. But +152 for the money line, I'm confident in the fact that VCU is going to win this game. Next game, Vermont and Marquette. Going to take Marquette. Marquette's one of my Final Four teams. I think that they're very strong. Actually, now that Arizona's out of the tournament, Marquette is actually going to be my new pick to win the championship. Go ahead and take Marquette -10.5 here. I did win a few bets early on in the season with Vermont. So I appreciate them coming through for me in that aspect, but I don't think that this is their chance where they're gonna be a Cinderella story and cause an upset here. So go ahead and give me Marquette -10.5. Next game is Iowa State, Pittsburgh. Iowa State's a really strong team here. With Pittsburgh having to play in a play-in game, I feel like while that could be beneficial because they've played recently and they're going to be, you know, a little bit more in a groove, I do think that, you know, some fatigue could come into play here. Go ahead and give me Iowa State, and I'd actually take Iowa State -4.5 here. Next game, we got NC State and Creighton. Creighton's one of those teams that, you know, they've been in some really good matchups and they've just come up short a few times. Creighton is a very good basketball team. So I'm going to go ahead and take Creighton here. Again, take them -5.5. I don't see NC State being able to keep up with them with their ability to score. So I'm pretty confident with that pick of -5.5. Next game, we got Iona and UConn. Iona is coached by legendary coach Rick Pitino. Obviously, he got in some trouble in Louisville. Now he's at Iona. Obviously, if you've followed Rick Pitino over the course of his career, his teams have kind of always had the same identity. They're a gritty team. They're going to press you on defense. Unfortunately, with him being at Iona now, I don't think he has the same talent that he was working with when he was at Louisville. So UConn started the season actually unranked, and they really battled back to, you know, show that they're a very tough team. Kind of lost my train of thought there, but yeah. So they really picked it up there at the end. For them to start the season unranked and then end up with a number 4 seed in the tournament just shows that this team's able to perform. So go ahead and take UConn here. -9.5 is a lot, I think, just because I could see this. I could see Iona with their defensive strategy keeping this game close. I'm going to take UConn money line here at -465, but because that's not great odds, go ahead and parlay that with you know, maybe another money line game. So your one that we've already talked about so far, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to parlay that with VCU. Let's see what that. Yeah, I mean, that gives you +206 odds. I mean, that's a pretty good payout there. You're getting 2-1. So bet 100, win 200. That's not a bad day, honestly. Next game, we have Purdue and Fairleigh Dickinson. Purdue's going to win this game. Zach Edey's just going to be too much for Fairleigh Dickinson. I don't see Purdue going very far. Talked about that yesterday. I think they're the weakest number one seed, but I don't think they're going to struggle here. Minus 22.5, though, I'm not taking that. And the money line is minus 7,000. For some reason, I just have a feeling that Purdue's going to win this game by like 21 points. So I'm going to stay away from a gambling perspective on this one. But Purdue's going to win this one fairly handily, I think. Just don't expect a 23-point win here. Next game, we have Providence and Kentucky. Go ahead and take Kentucky in this one just from experience. Providence is a solid team, but I just think overall Kentucky is the better team. I do have some notes on this game as well here. Let me go ahead and pull these up. I love using a legal pad because it makes me feel like I am important because I can pick it up and throw it around, but it is very challenging to have to dive through and try to find my notes. Need to get a better system of organizing these. But looking at these teams, like both of them finished the season with 21-11 records. Really, though, I think that the biggest difference here is going to be the experience level. Kentucky's led by three seniors. You got Oscar Tshiebwe, 6'5 senior. I'm sorry, 6'9 senior, who's averaging 16.5 points per game and 13.1 rebounds, which is first in the nation. And then you also have another forward, 6'9 forward, Jacob Toppin, averaging 12.5 points per game and almost 7 rebounds. And then you have senior guard Antonio Reeves, averaging 14.4 points per game. So I think when you have two very solid big guys like that, cleaning up the offensive and defensive boards, I don't see Providence being able to keep up with them. However, Providence did beat Marquette, UConn, and Creighton, who I just hyped up as really good basketball teams. Again, though, experience is gonna be the difference maker here. Go ahead and take Kentucky. The spread here is 4.5. I'm pretty comfortable with that spread. I think Kentucky's going to win this game. I think it'll be close at the end, but I think foul shots are going to be the separator here, where Kentucky wins this game by 7 or 8 points. Next game is Miami and Drake. This is a game where a lot of people expect an upset. Transparently, I didn't look too much into this game because I don't really have either of these teams going much further past the first round. I would take Miami in this spot just based off of feeling alone. Take them money line. The spread here is minus 1.5. I'd probably take them money line at minus 130 again. The minus 1.5 spread only pays out 120. So why risk it for that half point? Go ahead and take Miami money. Well, I apologize. I'd stay away from this game when we're looking at it from a gambling perspective. But if you're trying to figure out who's going to win this game, I'm feeling pretty good about Miami. Miami, although they're not a great team, I think that they do have some athletes on that squad. So anyway, not going to talk too much more about this game. Gonzaga against Grand Canyon. Spread here is minus 15.5. I think Gonzaga is going to win this game by 15.5. You got Drew Timmy, who is a great, great basketball player. One of the best that's probably come through Gonzaga in quite some time now. I think he's going to put up a good amount of points here. And then obviously, you know, we talked about the fact that Gonzaga has underperformed previously over the past few years. But I think with them being a 3 seed and not having the same expectations, I really think that this is going to be their opportunity to overachieve. So go ahead and take Gonzaga, take them minus 15.5 here too. I think that this is a opportunity for them to make a statement in the tournament. And I think Grand Canyon is the team to make that statement against. Next game we have is Florida Atlantic and Memphis. Go ahead and take Memphis in this one. Memphis is playing really good basketball. They're minus 1.5. go ahead and take them -1.5. I'm going against everything that I've said recently about that -1.5. The odds are -110 for the spread and -122 for money line. Memphis wins this game easily, I think, in my opinion. Honestly, I'm looking at like a 9-10 point victory here. So maybe I'm going to eat my words just like with Arizona, but I do think Memphis is going to run away with this one. Next is Kansas State and Montana State. Take Kansas State, -7.5. Not going to get too deep into that one. I just don't think Montana State can keep up. Next game we have Kent State and Indiana. Indiana is a 4-seed. Kent State's 13. Again, I don't see this being a Virginia Furman upset situation here. Kent State played Gonzaga in Houston very good throughout the season because they're a gritty team. I believe they lost to Gonzaga by 7 and Houston by 5, or those numbers could be flipped. But Indiana's led by All-American. Let's see here. I want to get his name right. All-American Trace Jackson, and then Big Ten Freshman of the Year, Jalen Hood-Schifino. Those guys are playing really good basketball. Indiana's beat Purdue twice this season. Purdue's a number one seed. So go ahead and take Indiana here. Pretty confident with this one. -4.5 again. I think this game is going to be a bigger blowout than that. I think Indiana wins this game by 15 points. We're almost there. We got just let me see here. We actually only got one more game left to talk about here. Arizona State, TCU. This is another one of those spots where I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to give the edge to TCU here again, just because Arizona just played 2 days ago. Probably going to be a little bit fatigued there. Go ahead and take TCU money line though, because I do think that this game could be decided by 2 to 3 points. Money line's at 215. That's a good value. If you want to throw it in that parlay with VCU and who else did we throw in there? UConn. Go ahead and throw that in that parlay too. I think you'd be in a good spot there. But those are our picks for day two of the round of 64. Hopefully we have, actually looking at yesterday, we had a good amount of success with individual games. Once again, though, very sad to see Arizona out of the tournament, but that's madness. Honestly, like I'm excited for Princeton. I don't know if they're going to make a big splash in the next round. Let me take a look at who they will have to face in this next round. They're going to have to play. Oh, I got to go way back. They're going to play San Diego State. That could be a spot where Princeton couldn't have another upset. But San Diego State's defense is really the that's not right. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong upset. Princeton's going to play Missouri. Missouri is going to win that game, I think, pretty handily. So, sorry, Princeton, you're out of it. But obviously, we hate seeing Arizona out, hate having our bracket busted already. But, you know, there's always those second chance brackets that come out when we get to a round of 32. But ultimately, we're here for the gambling. We're here for each individual game and, you know, throwing those together in parlays as well. But that's going to be today's episode, flying solo. So there's not as much back and forth banter on these. So I do apologize for that. But we're going to get Avery back on the show sooner rather than later. Hopefully, we can get him back on here tomorrow. But I hope everyone has a lot of success with today's games. Hopefully everyone, you know, was profitable yesterday. I know that we made a little bit of money from our end. We had some big parlays that obviously were busted from some of these upsets, but also hit on a good amount of individual plays. So I'm glad that we were able to walk away in the green for the day, which is ultimately everyone's goal when it comes to gambling, right? So if you're watching us on YouTube, thank you so much for watching. Do me a favor, hit the subscribe button, like the video, leave a comment, tell friends about it. If you're listening to us on a podcast platform, thank you so much for that as well. Do me a favor, share it wherever you can, share it with friends, share it with people you work with, like it, rate it. You know, ratings are huge in the podcast world, so we appreciate that. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Straight Up Locks, it's STR8UPLOCKS, Straight Up Locks. On Instagram, we're Straight Up Locks, and on Facebook, sometimes I forget about Facebook. On Facebook, we are Straight Up Locks Podcast. But that's going to be the show for today. Appreciate everyone listening. Hopefully, like I said, we all are profitable again today, and we will follow up again tomorrow with our results. So talk to you guys soon.